Welcome to the Trade Show Podcast, the home for conversations with global leaders in the trade show and events business. Our show will bring you face to face with experts who speak about the possibilities and trajectories of this $50 billion industry. I'm your host, Shubhanjan Sarkar, founder of PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make conversion easy. Welcome to this episode of the Trade Show Podcast. Thank you for listening and your continued feedback. If you have suggestions or you want me to dig in with a specific guest, please write to me at shubhanjan@pitch.link or message me on LinkedIn. Both links available in the show notes. I'm very excited to introduce you to our guest today, John Blasky, founder of The Exhibiting Agency and a sought-after event services consultant.
I don't want to chop down forests, but I am a great believer in quality leads. And that could be a tablet, it could be a piece of paper. We've used paper very often, just one sheet of paper, to gather all the market intelligence that the client wants and to give people options to take the conversation further. It's no good saying, well, I'll get my rep to ring you, give me a card. What is the purpose of that? What we do in my business and when we're consulting for people is give a visitor a compelling reason to see you again. And that is about starting at the end. What is the next event that you want your prospect to come to?
John Blasky has generated hundreds of millions of pounds of new prospective business for his clients through face-to-face marketing. Global multinationals, national trade organizations, not-for-profits, and countless SMEs have benefited from John's insights. John's key theme? Persuading his audience to stop hiding behind their screens and engage with prospects. Engaging with our fellow human beings has proved to deliver far more long-term business relationships than via online methods. John's content addresses how to identify real prospects, how to evaluate them, how to listen actively to their needs, how to align their messaging consistently, and how to take advantage of our universal connectiveness. From manufacturing display panels for exhibitors 40 years ago to disrupting conventional exhibiting norms, John is certainly unconventional. His calling today is to inspire and persuade any ambitious organization to create sustainable live marketing strategies, to differentiate themselves, and measure every aspect of their performance. Now, on to this unconventional session with John Blasky. John, welcome to the Trade Show Podcast. I'm delighted to have you here, and I'm having such wonderful conversations with you for the past month while you were flying to US from the airport and thereafter. I am really stoked that this will be a great conversation. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You know how this got started. I mean, Lee Ali posted an article written by you in 1991. And I found that fascinating because literally everything you wrote then holds today, which is strange and alarming in many ways. And great from your point of view, I would say. But before we jump into that, tell us a bit about your work. You have been in this for the last 5 decades. And
that's right.
A lot of the people who will be watching this were not only not born, possibly their parents were not born.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, that's a good opener. Maybe we'll not be friends after this. I hope we will.
This is so rare that somebody has the enthusiasm to continue to do something for 50 years.
Yeah.
I'm doing media, but maybe 40 years, not as distinguished as you. But there is an amount of passion that is necessary to do this, no matter who is paying you. It's immaterial.
That's the point. The passion, right? Is the point.
And yes.
I think probably it's all down to my father, who said when I was about 7 or 8, you never finish anything, John, you never finish anything. Well, I'm keeping going with this because you make a very interesting point, Subhanjan, that what I wrote in 1991 is still true today because we're still human beings, and face-to-face marketing is about meeting people And I've always been fascinated with creating communities, legacy, and looking for the human aspect. Now, you mentioned in your preamble about technology, and technology changes. You know, I've seen the epidioscope, the slide projector, the carousel, the projector, the little handheld projectors. I've seen the huge video screens. I've seen all this technology about scanning visitors. But it's all just mechanics. It's there to assist, not to replace human interaction. And what I've seen over 50 years in this fascinating industry is that people have unfortunately become separated. They've become screened behind Zoom. They've become dissonant with other people. And that's a shame, because we're human beings. And if you go back to indigenous tribes, they lived with each other, not apart from each other. And exhibiting, conferences, congress, are wonderful opportunities to initiate a relationship and develop a relationship with another human being on something that you have in common. It may be your work. It may be a passion. It may be something completely esoteric. But at least you're speaking. And I lament today the absence of human contact. You know, you tell a kid today, get in touch with so-and-so, or have you spoken to this? They don't speak. They type. Or they get on their iPhones. Now, commensurate with that, you see people's communication skills reducing, and that's a shame. That's a shame. So behind everything I do is this passion for helping people to, if you like, say hello to someone they've never said hello to before, like we did. And thanks to Lee, who I've known for many, many years, he's a colleague, a friend, a collaborator, my highly respected business colleague in many events, and that he should actually find that article when he was clearing out his office, that the article that has sort of re-enlivened this whole conversation, is amazing. But I think the universe works in weird ways. And I think what we're hearing from the universe is, hey, connect again, whether it's business, whether it's conferring at a conference. And I've done a lot of conferences for people where the only opportunity that the exhibitor, the sponsor, has to get face-to-face with the delegates, a highly qualified group of delegates, is at registration, coffee, lunch, and tea. So how do you get people to engage with you? How do you actually get people into your space, into your message, into your values? And that's, we've done a lot of that, especially in the pharmaceutical industry and other high-tech industries. And that is back to saying hello to someone you've never said hello to before. So that's at the back of everything I do. And how do I stay interested in it? Well, people are fascinating. And I've created lots of groups in my lifetime, charity groups, youth groups, all sorts of common interest groups. And when you're working in a trade show, you have a common group. If you're, for example, working in a trade association, I did a lot of work with trade associations where people have a common interest and yet they compete. So you have a very subtle balance there. How are you going to perhaps represent two people in the same industry? And yet they're all unique. They're all different. They all have different messages. They all have different styles. And that's what makes the thing challenging.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that a lot of what we see in terms of disconnect in the event space actually flows from the rest of the society. Yeah. So the disconnect that you see is actually not so much our industry specific, but it's more about how this generation connect with each other, right? So like you said, they will type because they're more comfortable texting each other in the same room or across a table than than actually talking to each other. And there can be many, many reasons. I mean, we can possibly analyze that. But if you're in the shop floor or in the show floor, or if you are in a booth, you know, trying to text a person standing in front of you is not very effective.
It's weird. You have the people on the booth, on your booth, there to do business, to create connections, to introduce themselves. You have people in the aisle who have spent a lot of money to get to the show and want to know what you do. And I've actually seen people look at each other and nobody says hello. And sad to say, we have used, in many cases, professional performers to learn a script, three important questions to qualify people in the aisle, and actually not let them into the booth if we're going to waste their time, if there's no point in it. And I've seen lots of sales reps on booths over the years waste so much time talking, and not listening. And we recommend at a trade show, you're representing trade shows, which are business to business. It's not a sales exercise, it's a marketing exercise. You don't need your salespeople. The salespeople come later. You know, the trade show is the flirting. The date comes later. But it is all down to the quality of the data you capture. And I will say that. Now, I'm a great believer. I don't want to chop down forests, but I am a great believer in quality leads. And that could be a tablet. It could be a piece of paper. We've used paper very often, just one sheet of paper, to gather all the market intelligence that the client wants and to give people options to take the conversation further. It's no good saying, well, I'll get my rep to ring you, give me a card. What is the purpose of that? What we do in my business and when we're consulting for people is give a visitor a compelling reason to see you again. And that is about starting at the end. What is the next event that you want your prospect to come to? And when we're consulting for a client, we say, what is the next event? Because this event, whatever the trade show is, should be bouncing people into something else. Is that a masterclass? Is it an open day at your factory or your business? Is it a training session? Is it a familiarization session? Is it a review of some sort, a range review, a strategy review, which I use quite a lot? And I always start with a client by saying, okay, what's the next event after this one? What are we going to create? Is it a hospitality event? Now, when you start at the end and work backwards, there's a purpose. And people can tick a box or not. And it's even a good idea if they don't, because then you're not going to waste time with them. So I think people don't see trade shows as part of the continuum of marketing. They see them in isolation. And are they aligned with a company's marketing plan, with their online marketing, or with all their other marketing? Or is it just an isolated incident where the organizer has said, well, you know, all your competitors are going, what are people going to think if you're not there? And still people are making decisions in that way today. I don't know whether any of this resonates with you, Subhanchan.
Yeah, absolutely. So let me pick on some of the points that you just mentioned. What you see as the malaise in the way we are treating trade shows actually again flows down from what's happening in B2B sales and marketing to start with. Now, if you just imagine that events is one part of the sales and marketing continuum,
yeah,
marketing heads today carry revenue targets. And that's what's percolating here, necessitating the forced idea that I will only try and qualify a person based on whether he's going to buy today, next week, next month. Otherwise, I am not wanting to talk to him. That's one side of the story, which means people who are early in their journey, which is the best time to start talking to them, because you will get a seat at the table instead of being five guys who are trying to sell to him because everybody wants the sale this month. you are ignoring that whole thing. That's one side of the story. The other side is let everybody in, give out swag, give out iPads, give out caps, and you scan the badges, and there'll be 200 people coming in every day trying to pick that up and let you scan their badge because they don't care. And you will go back saying, I have 1,400 leads.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. Those are my words, Subhash. Those are my words.
Exactly.
And we're both on the same page. I'm sorry. Please, carry on.
No. See, the biggest, I think what one very core thing that you said is that try to, I'm not so convinced about the word qualify, because that leads to some other problems vis-a-vis the buyer. But we'll get there later. But the fact is, you should be having conversation with people who actually matter to what you are offering.
Exactly.
And see the irony. $1 billion businesses have been built in the greater B2B selling space, selling something called, you're very familiar with now, called intent data.
Yes.
Right? So this is the big thing in B2B sales, intent data, ZoomInfo and Sixth Sense. And there are $1 billion companies have been built on that. And what are they showing as intent? That John today clicked on this website, and then tomorrow he clicked on another website. And because now we can sort of de-anonymize John and know that it's him, because it's coming from the same IP address, we can track that. We are now selling John's data to Shubhanjan and Lee, saying he's interested in buying this exhibit thing. Right? I mean, there are so many things wrong with this, but let's keep that aside. Let's keep that aside for a moment. Think about this. You just mentioned that people are spending thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of dollars, and their time to walk into a show.
Yeah.
What is more intent than that?
Yes, exactly. 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 We're in what I call, we're in violent agreement, Subhanjan.
And now you have this guy in front of you,
yes,
and you don't want to talk to him.
No.
You want to give him a cap and scan his badge and go home.
Yeah. Listen, I think you're doing this interview with yourself. I must say, I think it's very good.
So you know, you see why I'm so fascinated with that article.
Right? Yeah, and me too. And me too. And people haven't done the sums. So when I used to speak, and I've spoken all over the world, I've been invited to do some keynotes, and I've enjoyed them immensely. And what I say to people is, first of all, is trade show activity, is it principally sales or principally marketing? And people put up their hands, it's both. It's both. And I ask people, how many of you actually made a sale at your last trade show? And nobody does, because the sale comes later. So now we've established it's marketing. So, and then this is John speaking, you don't need reps on the booth. You don't need a wide open booth that will allow anybody in. And in those days, I was saying, and you don't need to give brochures out in the aisles. And people used to think I was mad. I was mad. But I've created products. I've created actual consultancy, if you like to call them consultancy products. And people talk around this. They talk about buying intent. They talk about technology. What they haven't actually got is what I've got, which is a suite of products, a strategy review to start with, a masterclass, an in-house workshop, a keynote. And when you have people in front of you and you give them a feedback form, and they say, yeah, I want to improve my exhibiting, that's when you get the results. And that's when you get the beautiful letters that I've had from my clients saying, we would never have done it this way. So my principle is, number one, privileged access. You don't let anybody into your stand. You actually have a barrier around it. Maybe people can see in but not get in, unless we, the exhibitor, want them in. Sometimes I've done black boxes, and they've been the most successful, because the curiosity factor, especially amongst ladies, I don't know whether I can say that, you might have to edit that out, but the curiosity factor is enormous. People want to know what's going on in there and why can't I get in? And it's so much more powerful than having, you know, a wide open space. The second thing is no reps. Reps talk, they don't listen. And they justify their existence too often by inviting existing customers. Now, if you set your objectives that the idea is to meet new prospects principally, if that is your top priority, then you need a different strategy to attract people in. And so therefore, we see four jobs that need doing on a trade show booth, not one size fits all. Somebody's got to engage at the front and qualify, and Lee's team of people all over the world do that beautifully. Somebody has to actually tell the story, and then somebody else has to capture the data and move people on to the next event that the exhibitor has planned, if we're working with them anyway. And so there is a method. Now, I haven't changed that method since 1975. And I have hundreds of letters of people who have had remarkable results, who would not have thought of doing this way. So I'm the guy who marches the wrong way. Just because everybody else is doing it one way doesn't mean it's right. And I've challenged and I've created something different. And I've lived a very comfortable life for the last 30 or 40 years with some beautiful people who have open minds. And they are prepared to try something different, like performance art. We've had freeze frame actors. We've had Ali G on the stand. We've had game shows like Dragon's Den. I mean, how else can you get four people to sit down, listen to a 2-minute pitch, sign up for a future thing, and then move off? And I want to just talk about that because there are some basic mathematics that apply to trade shows. And this is what I call the activity ratio. And it's like a sales funnel, but it's not quite the same. If you decide at the beginning that you want to bring in 10 new customers with an average customer value in your business of, let's say, £50,000, you want £500,000 worth of new prospective business. So work out how many sales processes you're going to have to initiate in order to get a new customer to try you. And let's say it's 5-1. So for the 10 customers that you want at the end, you've got to be prepared to do 50 sales processes after the show. Now, to initiate 50 sales processes, you may have to bring in 200 leads, because 3/4 of people either disappear or lie or aren't serious or have distractions. And in order to bring in 200 valid leads, you're probably going to have to present to around 500 people. And in order to bring 500 people through your booth in 3 days, or if it's a conference, maybe 2 days with just a few hours, you're probably going to have to say hello to around 1,000 people. Who's going to do that? And how are you going to squeeze the orange? How are you going to find out who's really interested, bring them through, get them to understand your story, and then sign up for a future activity, a future event? And the mistake that I've seen over all the years is too few people talking for too long on a booth. And I've seen it with sales execs. You know, they justify their existence by saying, well, we had a 20-minute conversation with da, 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 and so on. My view is that you have a 2-minute conversation with four people at a time. You get them to react. You get them to sign off, and you thank them, give them a very nice gift, but a thank you, not a please. And that's my process. So that's the way that we have reconstructed the process of bringing a sensible number of people through, having short conversations. All you're selling is the next event. You want to give people a compelling reason to see you again without all the distractions of the trade show, on your territory or common territory. That's the objective. It's a marketing exercise. And that's what I've shared for 50 years.
It's time for a short break. Stay with us. After the break,
I think it's a bit of theatre. We all love performance. And I use the word performance very strongly in connection with trade shows. The performance of the people on the booth, the script, the rehearsal time. Does anybody actually ever rehearse what they're going to do on the booth? We do. We do it the day before, whenever we can, or in the early hours of the first day. We actually have a rehearsal.
You are listening to a Bizcast Audio Original. Podcasting is one of the fastest growing content marketing avenues today. We can help you exploit this largely untapped marketing opportunity. We can craft your audio strategy and leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that smartphone penetration provides. It is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to target audiences. Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host for the Trade Show podcast and founder of PitchLink, the visitor engagement platform. Let's dive right back into the episode. So one question that comes to my mind is, if we are trying to move the conversation to the next event or getting a commitment for the next event, it sort of appears to me that it brings us to the biggest problem that exhibitors have today, irrespective of whether they're following your method or not, that is the abysmal rate of follow-up.
Oh.
Yeah. So what are you seeing, John? I mean, is this a problem which was there all through in B2B trade shows and events, or is it something new that I'm told, and I've spoken to many people in the industry, and by and large, people agree that between 60 and 70% of exhibitors never follow up at all.
Okay. And here's why. Here's why. The quality of the lead is crucial. And I learned very early on in my selling career, if you like, you have to give people a reason to speak to you. So scenario one, I've been on your stand. You're the exhibitor. You've given me your story. I've given you my card because you've asked for it. You've given me your card with no purpose at all. And now you ring me, if you ring me, and you say, John, we met at GTEx, and I think you said you were interested. Oh, yeah, well, first of all, you have to get through. You can't ring anymore. It's emails. Secondly, there's a gatekeeper, and you have to get past the gatekeeper. And thirdly, when you actually get to me, what are you doing? You're taking my time. You're taking my energy. You're taking my potentially my money, but you're not giving me anything. So why should I speak to you? I have other things to do. Now, let's flip it. Scenario two. On the booth, I give you three very good reasons to see me again. And the language we use on our feedback, which is very important, is please call me. I would like to come to your open day. Please call me. I would like to come to your next masterclass on engineering. Please call me. I have a project that needs dealing with now. And you invite people on the booth to tick the box, physically or electronically. That flips the whole follow-up, because now the person who's following up the following week can say, Subhanjan, you came on my booth, you were interested in our software, and you said that you'd like to come to our next demonstration session, and we're having that. You asked me to call you. Now, that's an invitation. It's non-intrusive. And that's very different. The psychology behind that is very different. So now, when I get the leads for my clients, or when they get their leads, there is a different way to follow up.
Sure.
Absolutely. Now, I admit that it's difficult to phone people. But if you give people an exciting reason to see you again, they will come. They will come. Look at the binge watching on Netflix. You can't wait for the next event. You can't wait for the next episode. Well, this is the next episode. And if you give people a reason to come for the next episode, your quality of follow-up goes way up.
Yeah, and I think also it boils down to the quality of conversation, that short or long or medium-sized conversation that you had at the booth. You know, last year I spent time across 6-7 cities in North America attending various trade shows, right? Yeah. And my agenda was, you know, that I have a product. We'll talk about that some other day. My agenda was to see whether what we are trying to do has really any relevance or not. And my way of doing that was obviously not talk about the product at all, but talk about, do you have these problems or how is it working for you and so on, right? And I actually interviewed 200 exhibitors and 200 attendees, okay? And obviously nothing to do with what we do. I'm a podcast guy. I have that identity as well. I'm saying that I'm doing this survey. I'm trying to figure out and so on, which is true. And, you know, I asked these attendees that what remarkable thing happened to you in this trade show?
Good question.
Right? What was remarkable? Nobody had anything remarkable to state. Okay, my sample was 200. It's small. It's small. I agree.
Oh, I think it's representative of this trade show, yeah.
Nobody had, I mean, then I had to dive. I said, was there a booth that stood out to you? No, they're all like what they were last year. Okay. Was there a conversation, a guy who you spoke to who stood out? No. So there was nothing great that happened to you? Come on, man. I said, no. Something happened. I met John or I met Shubhanjan. I had not seen him for 3 years since COVID. And that was great.
Lovely.
I heard this and I record my conversations with permission. And I say, look, I share it with you, whatever we are talking and so on. Conversation after conversation after conversation. And sometimes when I tell people, I myself feel this is not sounding very real, because how is it that 200 people, nobody had anything good to tell me about some conversation they had? And it was, of course, I asked them, was it a remarkable conversation, something which stood out, which you'll remember when you go home, that I had this conversation. This guy knew the stuff. The moment I opened my mouth, he could analyze my problem. He could tell me something which was great. And I'm dying to talk to him again.
So one of the things that we hear with our clients is, what are they going to the show for? Well, we want leads. We want business. How much? With whom? Existing customers or new customers, and we get it. What else do you want? Well, we want our brand profile raised. Okay. What message would you like somebody who's been through your stand to go away with? And we do some very crazy stuff on stand. And then we also do an exit poll, similar to you. Which stand, unprompted, do you remember? And do you remember the message on that stand? And then prompted, do you remember such and such? Oh, yes, that's right. That was very good. And that is, people don't realize how much brand profile recognition they can generate at a trade show if they do something just a little bit different. It doesn't have to be crazy. It has to be on message. And in some times, it's very subtle. We create art galleries of the benefits of our client's product or service. And we give people the handheld audios that you get in a gallery. Wow. It's the same message as everybody else is giving, but it's in a different way. And I know how many leads it generates. It's different. And you have to have that sort of, I think it's a bit of theater. We all love performance. Sure. And I use the word performance very strongly in connection with trade shows. The performance of the people on the booth, the script, the rehearsal time. Does anybody actually ever rehearse what they're going to do on the booth? We do. We do it the day before, whenever we can, or in the early hours of the first day. We actually have a rehearsal. I see the booth not as a stand, which is static. I see it as dynamic. I see it as a performance. And then the other end of performance is, how many leads did you pick up? And the letters that I've got from my clients saying, I'm writing to thank you for the outstanding job you did for us on our Hanover Expo. As you know, the result was over 300 identified and qualified leads for potential global distributors. Now, that's a lead. That's not a business card. Anyway, who has a business card anymore? you kiss phones. That's not human interaction.
Yeah.
And we're in danger of forgetting that trade shows emanated from the oldest form of market, the bazaar, the forum, the agora. You know, you go to Istanbul today, you go to the Grand Bazaar, or you, as I did, I learned my trade on Barnsley Market. Barnsley is a place in the northwest of, in the north of England, and I was selling wallpaper and paint in my father's retail shops. But I used to go to the market and see the performance. And this, there was a guy, I remember him today, Joe Edwards, and he used to spin plates, and he used to say, and it was a performance. You need that to stand out. We've forgotten how to do that. Now, I'm not saying we need to spin plates on every stand, but just the technology, the VR hoods or whatever, that's not human interaction. You still buy people. You still buy people.
Yeah. I agree. And I think a lot of, and again, coming back to your article and thinking about it, a lot of what sort of strikes me is that the value of a human in front of you, which is why you are in a trade show. Why are you in a trade show? Why are you not somewhere else?
Yes, that's right. That's right.
You are there because you think people will come and you will interact and you will have data. You know, one of the things that I believe is that all these conversations that you are happening, that are happening at the booth, that the insights that come through, there is practically no effort to capture that and analyze that later.
No.
And right? So people are not only coming and asking about your product, they're talking about how they compare it with a competitor's product because they want to know. They're giving you a lot of intelligence and data as to how people are thinking about you vis-a-vis the competition, vis-a-vis the scenario that, hey, why should I even take this product? Because AI will let me do what you are saying you will do, and I don't need you. Even to hear that and capture that, we are not doing any of that, which is like you said, it's market feedback, right? Why are you doing the survey? Because you are trying to understand what's really going on in the mind of this person and how do we relate to him. What do we propose so that we can, A, move it forward or even decide whether it's worth moving it forward and so on, right?
Yeah.
So much of the rich data that is all those conversations. First of all, we are not conversing, as you said. Secondly, as you said, and I totally agree with you, sales guys talk, they don't listen, right? And lastly, we are having this whole opportunity of having 20, 50, 100 potential customers who may buy from us this quarter or next or the following one, yet we are not doing the conversation in a manner, in a human-to-human basis, right?
So what is the missing word here, Subhanjan? It's relationships.
Yeah.
Now, it's business, short-term business is transactional. Long-term business is built on relationships. There is no better way than attending a trade show than to create and initiate and then develop a relationship. And here you are talking to me about Lee, who I've known for many, many years. Now, we have a relationship, and he publishes an article about me, and I always use his stuff. We have a relationship. I'm his customer, and to some extent, he's my partner. Because we've done work, masterclasses and workshops together. And, you know, he picked my brains and I picked his. He's a lot younger than me. But I now want people, and I'm unashamedly saying this on your podcast, I want people to take my methodology, to take my products and sell them or use them or do whatever they want with them because this is my legacy. I want to share what I've picked up over 50 years and create new businesses, create consultants if you like them, or advisors, or somebody once called me a guru. Now, you'll know what the word means better than me.
I do.
But this is my objective now. I'm 77, so my next few years are the legacy years. And I want people to take whatever wisdom they can get from my experience and create a better experience at the face-to-face, because we are in danger of surrendering to technology and becoming inhuman. And when you think of the AI program, the whole, which is remarkable and can do a lot of good work to save you work, but it cannot replace the interaction that we're having now, but would be much more fun if we were having it across a Balti or a,
of course.
And I think we have to remember not to be afraid of meeting people, because we're all on this planet together, 7.5 billion of us. So sure. This is about relationships, Shubhai. And here we are. We're creating a new relationship. And it is, I hope that it will enrich both of us.
Absolutely. This is fascinating. Actually, I think even reinforcing what's wrong is extremely important, perhaps more important than saying what is right. Because when most people are doing things not the right way, calling it out is very critical. And most of the time, people do not call it out.
No.
Yeah.
And I have done it. I have challenged. I'll tell you, very, very early on, there is an Association of Exhibition Organizers. It's now called the Association of Event Organizers in the UK. And very early on in my career, when I was developing the display panels, and I had decided that was quite boring, building display panels, but the interesting bit was the psychology and science of how to exhibit. And I stood up at a conference and I said, tell me, this was all organizers on the top table. I said, how many of your salespeople understand what makes an exhibitor successful or what makes a successful exhibitor? And there was a smelly silence in the room. And at that time, a fellow called Rusbridge said, well, that's a devastating question, John. The problem is the selling of the space or the selling of the opportunity is not done thoroughly. And I take my hat off to a guy called Andy White, who started at Clarion, went to DMG in Dubai, and hired me on many occasions to do masterclasses on behalf of the organizer to tell exhibitors how to do it better. And in many cases, prospects who hadn't signed up for the show. So we got them signed up and informed their salespeople at the same time where I was coming from and what really made a successful exhibitor. So I've worked both sides of the fence. I've worked with exhibitors and I've worked with the organizers and trade associations. And it's a win-win. You know, when you do it right, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally believe that, because I think there is no other B2B channel where, you know, the biggest hurdle, John, like you said, is trying to get a meeting with a prospect.
Yeah.
No, like you said, nobody wants to be qualified. Nobody wants to give you time so that you can qualify him, whether you can sell to him and take his money. Nobody wants to do that anymore. Everybody understands that. And in a trade show, it's literally the other way around. It's like your prospects walking into your room and you are not paying enough attention or doing something weird.
Absolutely right.
Or talking to somebody else who doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that blows my mind every time I think about it.
Well, we did some surveys. And I tell you, I did them very loosely. When I was doing a masterclass or a keynote, the first question I would ask is, how many of you exhibit? And all the hands went up, otherwise they wouldn't be in the room. How many of you are happy with your last results? And maybe you've got a sprinkling of hands coming up. And how many of you actually know what results you got? Very few. Very few hands go up. And I say, well, you're in the right place. You're in the right place. 94% of people that we've surveyed do not know what results they got at the last trade show. Mm. And partly that's because they didn't know what results they wanted in the first place. They didn't have a clear strategy and say, I want to meet enough people to give me 10 new clients next year. They didn't do that. Mm. So do you know how many exhibitors there are, trade show exhibitors in the world in a year?
No, I know that the North American number is 300,000 or something, but I really don't know.
4.8 million. 4.8 million people exhibit each year around the world. And if 94% of them don't know what results they got, what on earth are we doing with our industry? Now, I'm not saying we surveyed 4.8 million people.
I understand, yeah.
But thanks to AI, that's the figure we got just recently, just last week. And it's frightening that we have forgotten how to say hello to someone we've never met before.
Wonderful.
PitchLink makes buying easy by enabling high-quality engagement between buyers and sellers. Through its presentation and discussion modules, sellers create customized sales narratives using sales collaterals and personal videos and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement process. PitchLink requires no installation or download, contains and manages the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversations. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without interruption. Connect with us on LinkedIn or visit tradeshowengage.com. That is tradeshowengage.com.
Wonderful. John, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this conversation. I can assure you that we'll be back to talk more, on and off the podcast. But this was fascinating. Thank you so much.
We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes featuring great conversations on engaging your booth visitors and maximizing your ROI from your trade show investments. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you do not miss a single episode. Thanks for listening. Thank you for being with us today on the Trade Show Podcast, the podcast of record for the trade show and events industry. Here we talk to movers and shakers of the $50 billion trade show industry and identify ideas, challenges, tactics, and strategies to leverage the first-party intent inherent in the trade show business. We hope this conversation helped inform and motivate as we all navigate a rapidly changing business environment. For us, these are enlightening conversations enriched with knowledge and expertise. We encourage you to go out and implement some of the ideas we discussed today. We hope to have you with us again in the next exciting episode of the Trade Show Podcast. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platform like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast from, and give us a rating while you are at it. This is a BizCast original podcast and is produced for PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make buying easy. Hosted by Shubhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time and have a wonderful day.